Meeting of Cabinet on 14th of March 2023 in the Town Hall. We'll start with item one, to receive apologies for absence. I can see that everyone's present, so no apologies received. Item two, are there any declarations of interest from members? No. Item three, to approve the correct record, the public minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of February 2023. Is there any concerns of the minutes? I'll propose them. Can I take a seconder, please? Councillor Faulkner, all those in favour? I shall sign those in a minute. Thank you. That's unanimous. Item four, to receive any urgent business. Is there any urgent business?
No, there isn't, Chair.
Thank you. No urgent business. Item five is a forward plan, please, Chief Exec.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from March through to June. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Is there any questions, members? No. Okay, thank you. Item six, scrutiny review of homelessness. Ask Councillor Ackroyd to present, and Mike Overs is there to support as well. Thank you.
And recommended that it be re-established. The second part was desk-based, as the committee wanted to ascertain if a particular authority was recognised as the benchmark for homelessness services. However, the Department for Levelling Up Housing and Communities suggests that no one singular service could be identified as such, but some excel in the four building blocks, which are prevention, intervention, recovery and systems support. In fact, a DLUHC advisor has indicated that East Staffordshire is, and I quote, a local authority that provides a very strong and sustainable offer to rough sleepers and those at risk. In addition to this, the committee looked at homelessness policies and strategies of other local authorities in Staffordshire and Derbyshire. In particular, one aspect of the service offered by Stafford Borough Council was to have street scene officers which combine aspects of street cleaning and open spaces work. They're often around in the early hours and specifically target the locations inhabited by rough sleepers, so can provide early intelligence of their presence. There is general agreement that agencies need to work together to prevent individuals becoming rough sleepers, and that council officers are often well placed to bring these to the attention of the relevant agencies. Therefore, the committee has two recommendations, which I can confirm were supported by all members of the committee, and which hopefully will go some way to avoiding a recurrence of the tragic death which instigated this review. You'll find this at point 1.3 of the report, and they are to propose to former members of the Homelessness Partnership that the partnership is resurrected and expanded to include organisations that can provide upstream advice to those at risk of being homeless. And secondly, that ESBC consider commissioning a training package for all frontline officers to raise awareness of the causal factors that lead to homelessness and the support available to individuals. Can I thank the committee members and Mike Hovers for the work they've done on this report, and I look forward to taking any questions.
Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Is there any questions or comments from members? Councillor Peters.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Ackroyd, for a very comprehensive and detailed report. I think we're particularly reassured by the comments that you made towards the end of your presentation. The areas of excellence from DLUG were identified, and I think that speaks volumes for the work that the ESBC are doing. So thank you very much for a very good report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. Once again, I'd echo Councillor Peters' comments, but I would like to add that DLUG do say that we have a strong, sustainable offer to rough sleepers. And in relation to 1.16 and 1.17, where Burt and Hope dispute the method, Burt and Hope only have anecdotal evidence. Both myself and Councillor Metcalf and Councillor Allen have actually been on the homeless sweep when it has happened. I've been on it twice. Councillor Metcalf has been on it three times and Councillor Allen has been on it once, and we have found it to be thorough, and there's very, very little chance of anyone being missed when we do that sweep on that night. And unfortunately, Homeless Link don't give the kind of credit that we need in the way we actually do the sweep, and it gives Burt and Hope a little bit of credibility on their anecdotal evidence. Unfortunately, I don't support the anecdotal evidence from Burt and Hope, and I would suggest that they should come and see how we do it and how thorough it is before they start voicing their complaints. Furthermore, I would also refute their allegation that we have inexperienced support workers in helping homeless people. We have very experienced people and who've spent a lot of time within that department, and have actually, most of them have been homeless themselves. So once again, it's anecdotal and I don't think it really should be part of the report, but never mind, it's there. Thank you.
So any other comments or questions from members? Thank you, Councillor Metcalf. Okay, so the recommendations are, I shall read them out for clarity, to propose a former members of the Homelessness Partnership that the partnership is resurrected and expanded to include organisations that can provide upstream advice to those at the risk of becoming homeless. And the second recommendation is ESBC consider commissioning a training package for all frontline officers to raise awareness of the causal factors that lead to homelessness and the support available to individuals. I concur with comments already made. I think that we at ESBC have a really good service, and it does pick up a lot of people, and it ensures that as few people as possible find themselves in the unfortunate circumstances that Mrs. Winter did, and I would like to think that it prevents tragic circumstances that Mrs. Winter found herself in. I'm really pleased with the service, and but there's always more we can do. More training to keep on top of this and make sure that service is best it can be. If there's no other comments, I'm going to propose those recommendations. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Sankey. Sorry. Councillor Sankey, seconding. All those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Item 7. So this is to receive consider a motion that has been debated at full council on the 20th of February. It's a new part of the constitution for East Staffordshire Borough Council. The council have debated it, stopped short of making a determination, and these types of motions now come to cabinet for consideration. as part of that, the constitution dictates that we ask the original proposer, which is Councillor Wireman, to attend. If he so wishes, he can participate in the discussion now. Would you like me to read out the motion that was read at council and debated? I will do, I think, for clarity. So the motion reads, this council welcomes the creation of Uttoxeter's Park Run and would like to record its thanks to the volunteers who have started the first park run in East Staffordshire. The council would like to see a park run created in Burton, and we ask the cabinet member for leisure to commit to supporting the organisers to get this established later this year. We welcome both initiatives that will encourage more people to be active, and this in turn will improve the physical and mental health of our communities. Councillor Wireman, do you want to make any comment?
Yes, thank you, Leader. Just to say, having done those park runs at Uttoxeter, I will reiterate what we said in the meeting, that it is so well run, and the fact that it is the volunteers. Without those volunteers, we don't have a park run. We can't help the people of East Staffordshire. We can't help with the mental health and the actual the physicality of actually doing the run. You don't have to, I will just say, you don't have to run, you can walk. There are park run walkers. Hopefully Cabinet will agree with it, and Cabinet Member for Leisure will put this forward and carry it on. And I thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Wyman. Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, just to say that we're really happy to look at this, and we're in the process at the moment at contacting all the organisers just to see what support we can offer them. So, yeah, we'll be happy to take that forward.
Okay, thank you. So, Councillor Ashcroft, I'll take that as a proposal that you'll contact the organisers of Park Run, which I'm happy to second. can I take a vote on that to be the determination from Cabinet, which will report it back to Council, presumably at the next Council meeting? It's all very new, this part of the process. Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you, Councillor Wyman. Okay, item 8 is another motion on notice that came from Cabinet on the 20th, came from Council, sorry, on the 20th of February. It was one that I submitted, given the concern from the public around not being successful in Lough 2. It reads, this Council notes the Government's decision to not fund ESBC's bid to the Lough 2, to the Lough Round 2, but welcomes the £6 million of funding for Branston Interchange and new low-emission buses for use in and around Burton. We look forward to Round 3 of Lough, and we remain positive about Burton upon Trent and the continued investment by the Government, this Council and partners, and the impact levelling up will have on the town and borough. I think the motion really speaks for itself. I don't want to add anything further. We need to make a determination about what we're going to, how we're going to, where we're going to go from here. I'll ask the Cabinet Member responsible for regeneration, Councillor Clark, to make comment, please.
Thank you, Leader. Welcome the £6 million worth of funding that we've got for Branston Interchange. It's vital funding that will unlock the housing growth we need in that area, as well as make significant improvements to some of the key pressure points and junctions around Branston. I believe we've already got quite an ambitious programme of regeneration packages with over £40 million worth of funding already secured or committed to the various regeneration projects that we have underway. And whilst disappointing that we didn't get Lough Round 2, we are looking forward to the prospects of Lough Round 3 and are already working on several different projects that we could potentially take forward under that funding stream and developing sound business cases for those as we go along.
Thank you. Is there any other comment or question on this? It's rather one that should be noted, I think, and your efforts as a cabinet member to be noted as well on record. We're yet to understand the details of Lough, a third round. Government suggested that there will be one, but we need to know when that opens. And in the meantime, we're working up. We were thinking about what we should be submitting to that third round. Okay, so I'll take that as noted. Thank you. So, item 9, Housing Choice Supplementary Planning Document 2023. Can I ask Philip Stevenson, please, to present? Thank you, Philip. As Philip suggested, it's been revised a number of times. These things tend to change fairly frequently with different changes that government would like to make. We've used it to also take account of our own changes that we've made locally around the Article 4 direction. It's been out to consultation and now it falls to us to adopt. Is there any questions or comments on this? No? Okay, I'll propose I'll propose a recommendation set out in paragraph 12. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Peters, all those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. Thank you, Philip. Item 10 is COVID-19 Emergency Planning Recovery Update, please, James.
Thanks, Leader. So this is the quarterly COVID recovery update for March 23. As you know, this has been a sequence of reports that initially collated actions that the Council were taking to respond to the COVID situation as it was emerging, which then evolved over time into a report that is drawing together activities and opportunities for recovery from any impacts that we might have seen arising from the pandemic. So in the normal way, we've collated a number of relevant activities that contribute to those four broad recovery themes that we'd identified previously. But as always, the table you can see on page 7 of the report shows the particular highlights that relate to those four themes, with all the full detail, of course, set out in the subsequent sections of the report. So if I focus just quickly on the key updates and additions, starting with the local economy and business, which is section 5.3. With detail here on the various grants and reliefs that have been administered by the Council, There's also reference to the ongoing advice and support from our enterprise team, as well as information on events being delivered through the market hall and marketplace. So, for example, the programme of specialty markets taking place this year and the jobs fair that they hosted recently as well. We've also supported the promotion of West Midlands Jobs, who have launched their local government career guide. And we've included the latest town centre footfall figures as well, collated through our marketing team in that section of the report. Moving on to infrastructure and environment, there's information here on the various regeneration opportunities, so detail on the Towns Fund, the Levelling Up Fund, the Maltings Regeneration and the Utoxeter Sports Hub, for example. We've also added the detail of the Parks Development Plan and a number of related activities, as well as the latest on the place branding work. So the next theme looks at physical and psychological health. So we've included information on a range of initiatives delivered via Everyone Active, including the developments of all three at all three of our leisure centres. So in particular, the capital works at Utoxeter Leisure Centre, which started yesterday. The Brewhouse has announced its spring and summer season. And we've also included reference to the Burton Cycleway Works, the development of the Better Health Staffordshire programme, our work on the winter warm spaces, as well as the promotion of the council looking for volunteers to join the Friends of Stapen Hill Cemetery. And then the final theme is around new practices and behaviours. And this section now again refers to that cost of living support work and reference to the work on refreshing the corporate plan, which we'll see coming to full council at the meeting next week. So that's really a quick summary of the key points and the significant additions since the last report. But as you can see, there's still a lot of good work happening across the organisation which contribute to the recovery of our communities and our businesses. And whilst this report is essentially a snapshot of recent activities, as I mentioned at the start, this has been a sequence of periodic reports going right back to May 2020, which when you take all that together shows the, you know, the scale of the response and the recovery work that we've undertaken over the past 3 years or so. And the recommendation to Cabinet is simply to note the update detailed in the report. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions through you, Leader.
Thank you, James. Any questions or comments? I think I said this last month when we considered, or the last time this report came through Cabinet. Perhaps COVID feels or seems like a while ago now, and perhaps this report doesn't seem like it has a purpose, but it does serve a purpose. It shows how much more activity and a good snapshot, as you say, of the things that the council's doing. And the table, the footfall figures that you mentioned as well in 5/3/13. July to September 21 to July to September 22, the difference there is 58% increase. So in the town centre, amount of people visiting the town centre. So that's really good in itself. So as I say, COVID might seem a while ago, but I enjoy reading these reports and seeing them, just if only to see the activities that the council is doing over the period since the last report. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Just to let you know that the initiative to seek for volunteers for the Stapen Hill Cemetery has been extremely successful. We're very pleased with the results coming back from that.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? It is to be noted, so I won't take a vote. Thank you. If there's nothing else, thank you, James. Item 11, Q3, Revenue and Capital Outturn Report. Can I ask Sol Khan, please?
Thank you, Leader. So this report covers the Q3 forecast position for the current financial year, and it covers revenue and capital budgets, treasury management activities, as well as providing a summary of our key corporate and strategic risks. In terms of the revenue budget, which is detailed in Section 4, the report continues to highlight that despite some significant ongoing financial pressures, which are as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the current economic conditions, these are set to be offset by increased returns in relation to investment income and recycling income, which exceed our expectations and are due to high commodity prices. At this stage of the year, taking into account sums that were set aside at Q1, this has resulted in an overall reduced forecast net windfall underspend of £0.224 million for the year. The reduction since Q2 is primarily due to the impact of falling commodity prices in respect of recycling. Paragraph 2.2 of the report highlights a number of significant risks to the forecasts, and the most significant of which relates to the outstanding supported housing claims and disputes. Section 4 of the report is a summary of the forecast position by portfolio, and this is accompanied with the narrative in relation to the more significant variations. As usual, there is a full schedule of variances attached to Appendix A. In terms of treasury management activities, which is detailed in Section 5, At December, our investment stood at £66.2 million, with the rate of return to the end of the quarter of 2.96%. It was 1.97% at the end of quarter two and is around 3.72% present. Therefore, investments income is forecasted to be significantly higher than when the budget was set, and that was set at £1.1 million. This reflects a change in economic circumstances since the budget was set, and a full schedule of those investments is attached at Appendix B. Our external borrowing stood at £10.9 million at the end of the quarter and is broadly consistent with the previous quarter, and overall, Treasury management activities are in line with the approved Treasury management strategy. The capital programme is detailed in Section 6, and it sets out expenditure against a programme of £8.1 million, with a further £27.8 million in relation to the Towns Fund programme. The report indicates that, on the whole, projects are currently on target to deliver within budget. The report highlights that capital receipts totalling £1 million have been received this year by the end of quarter three, including the land sale, the land at Bygate. Finally, Section 8 covers risk management, and Appendix C to the report is a schedule of the more significant corporate and strategic risks that face the authority, together with the measures taken to manage these risks. This covers the key points within the report. The recommendations are detailed in Section 13, and happy to take any questions through you, Leader.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Leader. Yes, I think this is another very positive report for this year, and in line with expectations. Although it's slightly lower than the quarter two, it was as expected due to commodity prices. So it's a very positive report here. Risks there, which are being managed, key risks there that we've identified around the supported housing. Again, we are managing those within the constraints of which we're working within. So again, a very positive and constructive report. So I think I fully support the recommendations in the report.
Thank you, Councillor Sankey. Any other comments or questions on this? Okay. I think they're all to note, so I don't think I need to take a vote on this. So if there's no other comments or questions, I shall move on to item 12, Quarter 3 Performance Report 2022-23, Corporate Plan and Leisure Contract. Please, Sean.
Thank you, Leader. This is the update for the quarterly performance report for the third quarter of the current financial year of 2022-23. Following a change to the Cabinet structure during the penultimate week of quarter three, this report reflects the portfolios as they were for the majority of the quarter. The quarter four report will reflect the updated structure. However, please note that Appendix 1 will allow for all targets to be filtered by the current and previous portfolios. So far this year, performance across the Council's corporate targets has been strong, as referenced in this report and the attached appendices. In total, there are 129 indicators for the three corporate priorities. Of these, 118 are green status, 0 are amber, 5 are red, 6 are not yet due to be reported, and 1 has been requested for deferral. Of the 123 live targets, 95.93% are green status, 0 are amber, and 4.07 are currently red. Table 1, which is at paragraph 5.2 of the report, provides a breakdown of the number of targets in the red, amber, and green categories using the definitions described at paragraph 5.1. Full performance information on all corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary of the percentage and number of performance indicators for each corporate priority and cabinet portfolio is shown at Table 2. In paragraph 5.3. Table 3 at paragraph 5.4 lists the five targets which have been highlighted as off target, with an update for each of these provided. Table 4 and paragraph 5.5 detail the target which has been requested for deferral. There are two recommendations of the report. The first is to consider performance at the end of the third quarter of the 2022-23 financial year towards achieving the Council's corporate priorities and leisure services contract. And the second is to approve deferral of target CR03, which is detailed in Table 4, which will be carried over into the 2023-24 corporate plan. In summary, performance across the quarter has been strong. There's over 95% of indicators identified as green and two recommendations to be considered for approval. That concludes the update, so I'll pass back to you for any questions.
Thank you, Sean. Any comments or questions? Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Leader. Yes, I'd just like to sort of highlight, particularly looking at the ones that were off target, and particularly one that I just to highlight to cabinet members here, approval of statement of accounts. And in reality there, as it does say, only 12% of authorities across the country have made the statutory deadline. So we're actually in the 88% that unfortunately, because of external factors, have not been able to make it. So it is quite a challenging target at the moment through factors outside our direct control. So yes, we missed that one, regrettably, but we're in good company. So I do apologise for that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sankey. And as in the same kind of vein, CR03 proposed deferral, largely outside our control as well. It relied on a partner starting the work soon enough, which didn't happen, and so that's left us late getting to this, just unachievable, really. So there's the rest of the report is to be noted, and the recommendation to approve deferral of target 03 CR03. I will take a vote on that, so I'll propose that, please. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Clark, all those in favour? Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. Item 13, participation in the Local Authority Housing Fund. Please, Brett.
Thank you. The Council has provisionally been identified as eligible for capital grant funding under Section 31 of the Local Government Act 2003, with the following indicative allocation. Main element, £804,000. With this funding, the Department of Levelling Up expect the Council to provide a minimum of 10 homes to Ukrainians who have arrived in the UK on one of the identified relocation schemes. Matches for this element of the scheme are to be identified locally in collaboration with the County Council's resettlement staff and through homelessness presentations. Bridging element, £175,506. With this funding, the Department of Levelling Up expect the Council to provide a minimum of one larger 4-plus bedroom home to be allocated to an Afghan household currently residing in bridging accommodation under one of the identified relocation schemes for those who worked alongside the British Government. A match for this element of the scheme is to be identified by the West Midlands Strategic Migration Partnership. The Department of Levelling Up expects local authorities to work closely with their housing association partners who stand ready to assist and recognise that they may be the most appropriate delivery vehicle in some cases. The Council and Trent and Dove have arranged in principle to enter into a grant agreement for delivery of the scheme. The grant agreement reflects the conditions of the Local Authority Housing Fund with relevant protections for the Council in the event of delivery issues. Participation in the Local Authority Housing Fund scheme offers the Council a number of significant advantages. It responds to emerging homelessness pressures from both identified groups, delivers social rented accommodation which will support wider local authority housing and homelessness responsibilities to local people after usage by this cohort ends, and harnesses inward investment which would otherwise be reallocated to another local authority. Paragraphs 6.5 and 6.6 set out how the main element of the scheme can be tailored to serve the target cohort, whilst the bridging element will be more constrained due to the size of the property required. On the 26th of January 2023, the Council submitted an expression of interest to participate in the Local Authority Housing Fund, and Department of Levelling Up accepted our proposal on the 13th of February. This means that the Council is cleared to participate in the scheme subject to completion and submission of the Memorandum of Understanding by the end of today. For these reasons, the recommendations are to participate in the scheme, to approve the necessary additions to the Council's capital programme, and to authorise statutory officers to sign the Memorandum of Understanding which enables the Council to participate in the scheme with the support of Trent and Dove as delivery partner. With that, I'll hand back to you, Leader.
Thank you, Brett. Any comments or questions? John Teasdale, please.
Thank you, Chair. Councillors, just to make you aware, in relation to the recommendation at 14.3, because of the timeframes for the MOU and that it needs signing today, we're going to be liaising with Councillor Aykroyd following this meeting as the Chair of Health and Wellbeing, just to make sure that we can do that and get her approval. Because, of course, if the decision remains subject to call-in, of course, and the agreement needs signing today, that could pose a problem. So we're going to have to try and expedite that element. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Councillor Sankey.
I support this. We have got pressures, particularly specific for the refugees at the present, but I'm also particularly pleased that we can then use it as our basic housing stock throughout for the benefit of the whole of the borough. Once the refugee situation has eased a little bit and they've moved out, we can then use it to help the people of East Staffs as well. So I think it's a double bonus. It addresses a peak, but it's also got a long-term benefit. So I'm fully supporting this initiative. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, so I'll take I'll propose a recommendation set out in paragraph 14 with the advice that the solicitor has just given the cabinet to be noted as well. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Faulkner, all those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. Okay, that ends the public part of the meeting, so that I will move that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded for the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely in the view to the nature of business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of Part 1, Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item on the agenda.